Hello everyone and welcome back to the Fun Indian Guy podcast. On today's episode, for the first time ever, we have a foreigner. Foreigner as in non-Indian person to be on the podcast. So welcome, Sebastiano Gobbo.
Thank you.
My bro from university.
Yeah.
Glad to have you here.
Glad to be
here. A fellow designer on the path to also get the master's degree like me.
Yeah.
Super soon. Thanks for coming here to be on the podcast.
Thank you.
And
nice.
Thank you for giving us your living room as an improvised studio. If you follow me on Instagram, you must have seen the setup.
Yeah.
So in today's podcast, we are going into a different topic. I'm very curious to know many things because it's also catching up. For the people who don't know Sebastiano or Seba, which I'll call him from now onwards, that's how I call him. So Seba went to China for exchange program under university. He was in Tongji in Shanghai.
Yeah.
For how much time?
1.5 years.
So for 1 year and a half, he was in China. So he was going through a lot of different experiences as a designer, as a student, as a human being, a curious human being, understanding the way things work. Because as far as I know, in China, things work pretty differently than usual.
Yeah.
So in today's episode, I requested him to talk more about how things are working in China, especially in terms of services, apps, digital stuff, and how people are working and doing their day-to-day life activities. And that's what the aim is of today's podcast. So are you looking forward?
Yeah, of course. Of course. It's always nice to catch up and also to discuss about, let's say, design topic with other people with like different experiences and different point of views.
So before you guys go into this whole podcast, if you don't have patience to watch this complete video on YouTube because it's long, you can just go down below in the links. And there are all the links where you can listen to this podcast while doing your things. So, and let's continue.
Yeah. To like introduce the program that I did, it was an exchange between Polymi and Tongji University.
Yeah.
So it's like a double degree. So I did 1.5 years a master degree in Polymi in Milan, and then 1.5 years in Tongji in Shanghai.
Perfect.
So that's kind of important to introduce China a bit. It was kind of important because the fact that it was such a long exchange allowed me to get a residence permit, and this residence permit allowed me to work.
Yeah.
So I could do an internship, and I did 10 months of internship in Shanghai.
Which is amazing because you got to see and feel how it feels to be there and to work in that context. And that's very important because when you visit different countries for limited time, even if 6 months, most of the times it's gone in the overwhelming situation, adjusting to everything. And then time is passed. So you kind of not get the whole authentic experience of really being there and being present in that country. And that's good because you got to experience the whole part for 1.5 years.
Yeah, for sure.
So now we are going to deep dive into those topics and about day-to-day life activities and how this whole digitization is happening in China and why everybody is so curious about China in different technology fronts.
It's
very ironic that initially the Western products, like physical products, used to get copied by the Chinese market.
Yeah.
And now the things are turning other way around in terms of digital market. That's what I feel from distance. But you will tell us more about the whole thing, but after the intro. So we're going to run the intro of the podcast and get into the topic. Let's go. Hi, I'm Suyog, also known as the Fun Indian Guy. I'm a designer, musician, filmmaker, and a mechanical engineer. I'm from India, and currently I'm chilling around, traveling around, working around, roaming around, having fun around Europe, and this is my podcast.
The Fun Indian Guy Podcast.
Okay, so I will begin the conversation by asking you, how was the first time experience of being in China? Like, was it a cultural shock for you being outside Europe and being in Asia, which is like really a different place for Europeans to be at, especially China?
Yeah, I was definitely a shock. It was the first time I went outside like the Europe, not European Union. I've been outside European Union, but like far, far away, let's say. And this was, it was a shock mainly because I didn't have a good exchange language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's something we don't experience much in Europe, because while everybody has the pride of their national language, more or less, either because your language is very close, like Italian and Spanish is so close that you don't really know language, but it's fine anyway. You don't feel that far. But at least you can talk in English. In Shanghai, it was not so common to find English-speaking persons.
Okay.
But for the part that counted, yes. So it was not a problem, and it is not a problem to live in Shanghai without knowing Chinese at all. And I've met many, many people staying there even for like 10 years without knowing Chinese. Not a problem. But the shock that you get by not being able to read anything is super bad, because you cannot by yourself, it's very, very hard by yourself, let's say, get that survival mode that allows you to know, okay, that's a stop, that's a whatever, that's a restaurant. Some stuff are pretty telling, my example were pretty bad, but at the same time, you don't get, it's not easy, like,
That's interesting, because China, though it's so near to India, it's like we share the boundary.
Yeah.
It always feels some sort of alien land, because the language changes drastically, the kind of people and lifestyle and the culture changes drastically. Even their culture is super rich, just as India, but it's so different. There are also similarities, but it always felt for me also like a alien land. Like, we don't know what's happening there. And fun thing about the characters is, I would like to share here, is like, since my childhood, the made in China products which come to India are usually the ones which are like, which cannot be sold in US or Europe. So the premium goods were going or shipped towards US and Europe, but the general stuff, which is like a third level, which is not going to be sold, super cheap, low quality plastic, poor packaging, were always coming to India, which you can always find everywhere. And it always had that packaging of made in China with all those characters, like the name, the characters of the languages, like those symbols. And that, because of that, it engraved on my head since the childhood. I'm seeing that whatever is coming with that script is cheap quality stuff. So whenever I'm looking at Chinese script anywhere, my intuitions are the way I'm thinking is never like, oh, premium quality product. It's always like, oh, this product must, it's okay, it's okay quality. But it's a different cultural impact. I don't know how to put it.
I think it's actually a pretty interesting thing for you to say, because actually it's something that happens also in China for Chinese people. So the Roman letter script is actually a sign of quality most of the time.
Okay.
They have pretty heavy regulations. So if it's like imported stuff, has to be in English and all of this stuff. So this led to the idea that some things are more high quality and have a more marketable like value because the package is in English. Yes.
Talking or speaking about shops, I would like to diverge our conversation into digitization.
Yeah.
Because that's the hip topic, or that's a hot topic, and everybody is looking forward to China and what they are going to do in this sector.
Yeah.
How was whole shopping experience, or how was the whole digital app-based ready to buy or ready to order experience? Because I've heard a lot of things also about WeChat. So what do you think about this whole digitization?
I feel like the whole environment of China is integrated a bit. There is an integration between digital and physical in a way. So while you have like ultra traditional shop, as I told you, wet markets, there is always a corner shop. You go and buy stuff. Some stuff you buy in person. The majority of your things and food are bought online.
Okay.
And this is very big because this led to very capillary way of delivering.
Okay.
So you have delivery is ridiculously cheap, and is super fast across China, like a couple of days, €1 of delivery everywhere in China.
Nice.
And is so this led to like it's a bit of a detachment of where you don't actually know where this stuff comes from. Doesn't really matter because it comes right away. It's very, very cheap and very, very fast. most of the things are like at the bridge as a entry the phone.
Okay.
So while you can buy whatever you want online, like on Amazon, we can of course buy whatever.
Yeah.
If you have like Amazon groceries or like the shop of Amazon,
yeah,
you can also buy groceries.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, but feels different because also when you go in person, you use the phone to buy.
Okay.
Because there is the QR code, either for Alipay or WeChat, same system. So you go, you scan, and you send the money. It's connected to your bank account.
It's completely cashless.
Completely cashless. Most of the shop don't have a cashier.
Okay.
Have just the QR.
Okay.
So like the QR and the scanner tells you how much.
Okay.
That's it.
Wow.
So
even the smaller shops on the corner
yeah,
of the street.
Even beggars have the QR.
Wow.
So there is no cash because there is no cash.
So they're advancing in some way where digitization is like a core of everything.
Yeah, for sure. Because it's like, it really lowers the barrier for entry for a lot of like costs that you have. You don't have to have a machine very cards.
Yeah.
You don't have to have someone that takes the money and they put them somewhere else. Because with your QR, you're instantly given the money. You can also spend it right away.
Yeah.
And this leads to a very fast mentality of spending, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You spend for a lot of things because a lot of things are cheap.
Yeah.
You are more inclined to spend for them also.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's it. That's a very big thing.
So when you were buying all these things or going to shops, and what was your go-to app to do all these things? Like, is there a specific app you used to buy every time, or it was just payment gateways?
It depends. To go in person,
mm-hmm,
the two apps you use to buy usually are WeChat or Alipay.
WeChat and Alipay.
Yeah. With these two, these are the main.
Yeah.
Some shop don't take one or the other.
Yeah.
WeChat, with WeChat, you can also transfer money between people more easily. At least is the app that use more to transfer money between people.
Yeah.
Has a very nice feature that lets you split the bills between people.
Yeah.
So when you go dinner, one pays and then put the check on a group and everybody pays there.
Perfect. And it has been there for a couple of years now, right? These features.
Yeah.
Though Google is now trying to sell it as in brand new, super scratch, super technological features.
It's
now,
like the thing to do.
It has been there for a while in China.
Yeah. At least a couple of years, if
and
not free.
Alipay is basically owned by Alibaba, the whole ecosystem of Alibaba. And I think they are now also opening big grocery stores, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, exactly. One of the things they're doing, because the Alibaba group has also other than like the WeChat thing as more like a social platform, while Alipay is more service oriented.
Yeah.
And this is reflected also in the way you pay. As I told you, like WeChat, the big thing is that you transfer money between people that you know.
Yeah.
With Alipay, you pay the bills, for example.
Yeah.
There is a QR on the state, like electric bill.
Okay.
And you like
scan
register
it and...
you register your account under that kind of code of bill,
yeah,
and every bill you comes there, so you don't get the mail anymore because they know you're on Alipay,
so
you don't need it anymore.
So just one doubt there,
is
this whole Alipay, or even if you use the WeChat for payments, all this is linked to the bank accounts, or it's like prepaid own bank accounts of Alipay?
No, to activate your well, you can do two things. Nowadays, you can for WeChat, you can do two things. One is to own a Chinese bank account,
mm-hmm,
and you have to have a debit card.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot go in credit with this kind of service.
Okay.
And this is done for young people, like a kid in China, gets the money on the wallet from his parents and just buys with the wallet.
Okay.
So there is the digital currency. You can retrieve the money. after a while you have to pay a commission to retrieve the money from there, because a lot of shops get the money there.
Yeah.
So it makes sense for them to charge you after a while, because if you make move too many cash, it means that you are earning money somehow.
Yeah. So as you said, also the spending behavior was increasing. Did you find it personally that you were also started to spend a lot of money everywhere without even having? Because when you have notes or physical currency in your hand, you sort of have control because you see it physically. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's a 50 euro bill, that's a 10 euro bill, that's a coin. But where everything is going online and you are just paying everywhere now and then, it might get uncontrollable. Did you feel personally any problem because of it?
I'm
just curious about the behavior.
Yeah. I think I definitely bought more stuff. and this is a combination of convenience and price.
Yeah.
If you need something, you buy it,
yeah,
basically. So this is like, is it so easy, so fast, so cheap, that sometimes you just go and buy it.
Yeah.
For sure, like a majority of things, you buy it online.
Yeah.
Because if you need like a small thing or whatever, like glue, for example,
yeah,
you don't even go to a shop to search for it. It's not worth your time.
Yeah.
You just order it and you get it to your door.
But does it increase your productivity or just makes you lazy from the higher evaluation?
I think related to food, it makes you quite lazy.
Yeah.
I think for food, it makes you lazy, a bit lazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's easier to, and maybe it's even cheaper sometimes, to order food when you cook it.
Yeah.
And for my culture,
Italian culture,
my Italian culture that's centered about doing food for yourself, I feel like it makes me a bit more inclined to not cook for myself.
Yeah.
So that's for sure.
Dependent.
Yeah. You're less dependent on yourself because you can just buy it. From a rich point of view, like a rich in sense of reaching for new stuff, is way better though, because you can really, if you need something, you never feel like you can't do it because you don't have it.
Yeah.
You just buy it and then you do it.
True.
And this makes you do more things.
Yeah. So basically now we took overview about how everything is cashless and easy,
yeah,
and expenditure is increasing, but the services are there to offer.
Yeah.
The one of the curious or most curious topic for everybody is WeChat, because as far as I know, WeChat is not just like WhatsApp. It's not just chat.
Yeah.
There are many other features, especially when you go to China, there are many apps which are inbuilt in it. So I would like to know how was your hands-on experience and also to tell us how it is to use WeChat for everything, because it's like one of the fundamental lifeline of digital services in China.
Yeah, you basically have to have it because you contact people with it.
Mm-hmm.
You make groups. If there are groups to find more people to do other things, is a combination for our view is a combination of multiple functionalities,
mm-hmm,
in one big box. This box is called WeChat, and inside of it you have a chat system, you have a kind of feed, Twitter-like feed,
mm-hmm,
more picture-based than anything else, and then you have a media for like companies in which they can create a feed, you can follow them and
like advertisements.
Yeah, a kind of advertisement. But they don't have hashtags. So finding them is not that easy.
Okay.
Yeah, hashtags are not there. And inside of WeChat you have a payment,
mm-hmm,
system and your wallet. So you get money from jobs also there if,
mm-hmm,
you want. So that's kind of the idea. The idea is to have a system that connects people and money.
Okay.
And this led to the creation of mini programs.
Okay.
Mini programs are basically like apps.
Okay.
They are coded inside the WeChat environment. And they function like you could imagine like a normal app. Only that the gateway is WeChat itself.
Okay.
So there are shops,
mm-hmm,
like online shops, like official online shops, like Xiaomi has a big one inside. You get like a like a memory of the mini app you used. Mm-hmm. You can buy tickets for the movies inside there. When you go, another big thing, for example, that's big because it's very used from my experience, is you get a QR at your table.
Mm-hmm.
You scan it and goes into the mini program of that restaurant.
Okay.
And inside of it, there is the menu.
Crazy.
You complete all the menu.
Order.
You order, yeah.
Yeah.
You order what you want.
Wow.
And then you order it, and then you pay it on there.
Okay.
And it comes a person giving you your recipe.
Perfect.
And
wow.
That's,
this is so
that's
seamless.
Kind of, yeah, it's seamless. And also, it's crazy to think that every like restaurant has an app for himself.
Wow. And who is developing these apps?
There are a lot of companies that develop it. They're very easy to develop,
okay,
from my understanding. So therefore, they're very cheap because it's like an HTML, CSS,
yeah,
situation that's modified by the Tencent company.
Yeah.
So it works in the same way. It's like a web page, but everything is like
inside
of it.
So WeChat is basically taking over everything, kind of.
Yeah, kind of. Some stuff people can only do it on WeChat.
Yeah. Wow. But that's very interesting. Like, they created a place where it's like one stop, like WhatsApp. We are using WhatsApp a lot.
Yeah.
And imagine everything comes inside WhatsApp. Like,
yeah,
you are ordering food, you are
stop.
Doing everything, you're sharing stuff.
Yeah.
It's like one stop.
If
service.
You use it enough with enough mini programs,
yeah,
you don't need other apps.
Yeah.
Sometimes like the big apps have like their own apps, and
mm-hmm,
I always prefer to use them, but at the same time there is always an option of a mini program inside WeChat,
yeah,
for the same app. So sometimes you just don't need the another app.
Crazy.
Just
like
in a big WeChat.
It's so brilliant, and every Western company wants to get into the seamless experiences,
yeah,
which they're already designing there. But one core question I would like to ask you as a designer,
yeah,
because these HTMLs are very basic stuff, not many buttons and everything, like very basic to the core. How was your user experience for using these mini apps inside?
Well, I think everything is a bit clouded by the fact that I don't know Chinese.
Yeah.
So even if I did some courses in Chinese,
yeah,
sometimes it was very hard to navigate these apps. Not because of the interface, let's say, but there are many pop-ups.
Yeah.
Many pop-ups with messages that tell you something.
Overwhelming.
And so you have to know Chinese to get in there. But from a user experience point of view, an interesting thing that I found is that because there are so many apps inside the WeChat environment, you get some patterns in it, and it becomes very easy for you to understand what an app does.
Yeah.
Like the mini programs for the restaurants are basically
similar.
All the same.
Yeah.
All the shops are all the same. And in this way, it gets super easy.
Yeah.
It becomes less about the form and more about the content,
yeah,
somehow. That's good and a bad thing, because like if you get some variation, it becomes harder to use.
Yeah.
They're usually pretty basic, yes. Even mini programs are more bare bones than their app counterpart,
yeah,
most of the time. I mean, you get a more premium experience with the app.
Yeah, of course.
But the mini programs gets the work done.
Yeah,
and that's what counts in that kind of environment, I feel like.
Super interesting. So basically WeChat is like a big universe.
Yeah.
And
Alipay wanted,
yeah,
to be the same, or is born to be the same,
yeah,
but in a different way. As I was telling before, is a bit more professional oriented, like service oriented.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of shops inside. Like Taobao,
yeah,
is the go-to shop.
Yeah.
For everything.
Yeah, I've seen videos of Alibaba's promotions about all their different platforms and different mediums and different kinds of shops and services,
yes,
they're providing. And online to offline basically is the main message, where you take people from digital platform to physical shops, or you make them go to physical shop and then make them buy online.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's online to offline, offline to online is
big
a trend
fun.
And new thing coming up also in European market, and US I think it's already there.
Yeah.
But China somehow has already gained a lot of experiences in this sector, which,
yeah,
amuses me a lot. And it's very interesting to understand how they are doing things. I would like to understand one thing from your experience of using,
yeah,
all these apps. And all. I know there are many more things which,
yeah,
you must have experienced in,
yes,
1.5 years. Do you think they are more modern or high tech as a community or as a country, because they have all these technologies in place, very seamless, very easy to use, very available to everybody, from the corner shop, from the bagel to the richest of rich? Do you think it's they are modern or they are more high tech?
I think it's an improvement in quality of life for sure.
Okay.
It's more integrated. I don't know if it's more modern or more high tech, because it's not like we don't have this technology.
Yeah.
We don't have this. We didn't have this history and this opportunity maybe to have such a few apps at the beginning that integrated everything afterwards.
Yeah.
And in this way they can do so many things in such a few steps.
Yeah.
And so the grandpa, grandma, even if they like never use a phone, they have their smartphone, they pay the bills on the phone.
Yeah.
And that's it. Yeah, of course then they will take the cash and go to the wet market and buy like carrots and everything else by hand with the cash. It's not a problem, you can always do it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, some stuff is more quality for them. Yeah.
Nice. Because even India from last couple of years is pushing a message of cashless and how to go all digital with all these QR codes. And we also have different payment gates, like, I forgot the names because I'm not there for a long time, but
Even
Google Pay is a big thing now. WhatsApp Pay, they first run the MVP for 1 million people in India to understand how the payment is working, and now it's coming everywhere in India because WhatsApp is a bigger chat system. We don't use WeChat much. It's quite interesting to see how different countries also culturally are coming ahead, because the style of approaching things is very different. Though both the countries like India and China are bigger in size, like almost similar in size, the cultures are different. But how was your whole experience in 1.5 year using all these technologies, getting used to it, getting exposed to these newer ways of buying things? How would you sum up this whole 1.5 year of experience in being in China, doing day-to-day life activities, like normal stuff?
I think maybe surprisingly, at least for me, it's very easy to get accustomed to this kind of service, because being like this seamless means easier, and is you fit right in when you pass the barrier of having a bank account, everything set up with your phone number and whatever, then everything goes into place and super easy to do everything. So you don't have much of a barrier in using the app themselves. On the flip side, you have like a trillion apps sometimes. And I've seen Chinese phones that were really, really full of apps.
Overkill
a bit. Yeah, because you can do so many things, but at the same time, you need to have all the apps to do everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So the smartphone changes from like your means of communication with other people and more like a tool to do things.
Yeah.
It's not like a feed oriented tool, is more like an active tool.
Yeah.
And so you always have your phone and you get very anxious about your phone.
True, I understand.
Very anxious.
Notifications and everything.
Yeah, you really have to manage the notification, manage the people, manage like which group you want to listen to, which app to have, like what are the apps you check?
Yeah.
What do? You check this one, you check the other one.
I understand.
It becomes a bit like a reflection what you do in a day using your phone, and you spend a lot more time on it.
Yeah, I know.
And I noticed by coming back, I came back like 20 days ago, and the
mute.
No, not only the mute, but also the battery of my phone. Like I go to the end of the day, I don't know, I have still battery. And that's crazy because everyone in China has a power bank, because no phone after like 1 year of using it that lasts for more than like 8 hours or so.
Crazy. I was just thinking, because the physical counterpart of the whole system would be like you are sitting in a room with a bunch of your friends. There's one conversation happening in this couch. There's other conversation happening on that couch. You're trying to talk to all the people. And then your girlfriend is talking to you from somewhere else. And then suddenly there is a shopkeeper in your room asking you if you want to buy this product or you want to buy the shoes from Adidas or whatever, some Chinese brand. and then at the same time there is a restaurant person asking for your order, like everything, if you come take everything out from the digital experience to physical experience and try to just imagine the amount of information going through your head is just the same, just it's limited to that screen. But if you put all those things physically outside, it's
yeah, it's
crazy.
a lot to manage.
Yeah.
and in the end you are on your phone.
Yeah.
That's what you do. You are on your phone and you do the stuff on your phone.
Yeah.
Even like when you are at the restaurant and you order food, you don't do it with a person. Of course, for me it was better. I had the pictures and I didn't have to talk with someone that didn't understand me very well.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it takes something away.
Yeah.
A bit of a connection maybe. But it makes everything more like faster.
Yeah.
For sure. And it's even easier for not only... I mean, if I think of the amount of things I did without knowing the language, is amazing.
That's surprising.
And I can't imagine like a person that doesn't know Italian that does the same things I did without knowing Italian. It's impossible.
True.
While in China you can do it. No problem. You just have your phone.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Super interesting. Like I learned a lot out of this conversation and very amusing and very interesting at the same time. So thank you so much, first of all,
for
letting us know and give us a small gist of the whole experience of all these Chinese markets and the way things work there. Super glad. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
On this podcast, rather than thanks for letting me come here and do the podcast. And thank you so much, everybody, for listening to this podcast, for staying till the end. And I hope you learned something new. And if you're curious about more things, don't forget, just put comments down below. You can also reach out to Seba. I'll put his Instagram down below. And that being saying it, don't forget to have fun, because having fun is not an option. And I'll see you in the next one. Ciao, ciao.
Bye.